Hello, and welcome to episode 70 of Design Curious Podcast. Welcome back after the break. I hope you guys had great holidays and a great new year, and I hope your 2024 is off to a wonderful start. Today on the episode, I have a very special guest, Kate the Socialite, who is well known to me and I think my industry as a marketing expert. She has her own podcast called The Kate Show. So I'm very excited to have a conversation with her today. Let me tell you a little bit more about her. Kate is the founder of The Socialite Agency, a marketing firm that specializes in helping professionals in the home industry. And she is the host of The Kate Show podcast, a marketing-focused podcast that is ranked in the top 2% of all podcasts globally. In 2021, Kate was named 20 Under 40 by Window Fashion Vision magazine, and in 2023, Kate was listed as one of the top 500 global entrepreneurs by Brains magazine. Socialite is a marketing agency that works exclusively with home stagers, interior designers, workrooms, and professional organizers. Clients across the world use the Socialite agency to set up simple, effective sales funnels that repeatedly bring them more of the right clients without spending hours on their marketing each month. And so we have a great conversation for you. Before we get into the episode, I want to remind you about starting your year off right. If you haven't signed up for My Design Mentor, now is the time to do it and get your 2024 started off right. This is the year that you're going to become an interior designer, and let me help you get to that point. So go ahead and go to the show notes and find the links for My Design Mentor. While you're there, you want to get your free downloads and give you a little bit more information about the career of interior design. Okay, now let's hear from Kate. You're now listening to Design Curious, a place where you, creative one, are here to learn about what it really is like to be an interior designer. And I'm your host and mentor, Rebecca Ward. If you're worried about how to succeed in a creative career, if you're ready to learn your next steps to become an interior designer, and if you want the satisfaction of doing something you love every day, you are in the right place. Grab a coffee, a notebook, and let's dig into today's episode. Hi, Kate. Welcome to the show. So happy to have you today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Well, it's an honor to have you. I feel like you are a household name among my design colleagues. Everybody knows who you are and listens to your show. And so it's great to be able to talk to you today. And I would love to start off learning a little bit more about your marketing agency. But first of all, how did you start your agency and why did you decide to niche into interior design industry and the home industry?
Yeah, so that is a good question, because when I first started my business, I was 22 and I had never had a full-time career other than one other job before that. Mm. And the only reason why I thought I should start my own business is because I was hired while I was still in college by this serial entrepreneur who had really made a name for himself. I mean, he had the big fancy house, a fleet of exotic cars. Mm-hmm. And when he hired me, he was like, "So what do you want to do?" And I was like, "Aren't you supposed to tell me that? Like, I'm the employee." He's like, yeah. "Well, no, I mean, you could do whatever." Because he had like 80 different companies that he was like the part owner of. It just like, there was so much mm-hmm. going on. And I suddenly realized that I could actually just pick what I wanted to do. I didn't have to be stuck in the mindset of, I've got to get a job and hope they pay me enough. And like, because I didn't necessarily come from an entrepreneurial area. I grew up in southern Wisconsin where it's farming. There's a lot of Amish people. Like it was just completely not on my radar to be like, mm-hmm. oh, go start an online business. But I did. I started a business and I actually wanted nothing to do with marketing. I thought marketing was stupid. I thought that it was slimy and I absolutely hated it with a passion. Then I started to figure out how it worked. And about 2 years into being a business owner, I found myself doing marketing, not just for myself, but for mm-hmm. other people. Oh. And then I realized I really liked working with people in the home industry because it was creative and the photos were beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so I just focused on those clients. And now, almost 10 years later, here I am with the team and the podcast and marketing up to my eyeballs at any given moment. And I actually really love it because I found a way to make it work for me. And it had to be simple. It had to be efficient. It had to be easily repeatable. Otherwise, it's not sustainable. And that is the same methodology we use for our clients. It's what I talk about on my podcast, because if it's not simple and it's not repeatable, then it's just not going to be functional.
Yeah. And it's almost like you're reinventing the wheel every single time you go to do your marketing. So, so that's really a great approach. How did you learn to do that? Was it just like hard knocks learning it for yourself, or did you go take any marketing courses, or how did you get to be an expert?
Well, it took a lot of mistakes on my part. I made all the same blunders that every new business owner makes, thinking, ooh, this advertising contract looks like a good idea. Let me sign up for that for 12 months. not actually a great idea at all. But I did take a few business courses. And the biggest thing that was very pivotal for me as a business owner was B-School by Marie Forleo.
Okay.
Because she helped me understand for the first time what it meant to have an ideal client, and then how to speak to them. And that's when I was like, yes, I'm going to focus on the home industry and I'm going to dive deep into what their needs are and then create solutions around those needs. I'm going to sell those solutions as services or as templates or whatever it is, and only focus on that industry because it's easier to market yourself when you're specified, when you have a niche.
Yeah. And that's something that I've kind of touched on before, but let's dive in a little bit deeper into niching. Like, I feel like a lot of designers are hesitant, really, and I'm sure you see this all the time, to really limit their audience.
Yes. So I do hear that from my clients, especially if they're fairly new. And they're like, but if I say I only work with the busy young family, then I'm going to alienate all these other clients who might be empty nesters or, you know, whatever. The thing is, it will actually not alienate those people. It's okay that you have a specialty. You don't have to turn down work if you don't want to. But when you have a specialty, it makes you more memorable to people and it helps you know what to say in your marketing. Because if you are standing in front of a crowd of people and you're trying to get all their attention at once, well, you're going to just make a fool of yourself because that's the only way to get their attention. And it's not going to be lucrative in the end. But if you're standing in front of a crowd of people and you just want the attention of the moms, you jump up and down and you say, hey, look, a baby. And every woman's going to be like, oh, where? It's because you know your audience. So when it comes to an interior designer saying, I want to work with the busy, overwhelmed mom who just wants like kid resilient furnishings, who wants to feel like she has her dream home instead of having to wait a decade or more. You start diving into what are her reasons for wanting that? I mean, it's one thing to say, okay, yes, we're going to give you the white sofa that's actually stain resistant because it uses Krypton fabric or whatever it is. It's another thing to ask, why does she want the white sofa? Is she trying to make herself feel more confident? If so, make your marketing around her confidence because everything else that you're trying to sell her is just going to come along with that. But as interior designers, if you can hone in on your ideal client and on what her emotional needs are, not only will it make your marketing easier, it'll also make it more effective. And then you've got kind of like a fan for life and they keep coming back because you give them the feeling that they're looking for.
Yeah, that's great. So you've had your marketing business for about 10 years. And how long have you been a podcast host?
I have had a podcast for almost 6 years.
Okay.
Yes.
So what prompted you to start podcasting? Was it to promote your business or was it you were getting so many questions that you wanted to answer more publicly? Just curious about that.
Yeah. So it started off with getting a lot of questions, a lot of the same questions over and over. And I was like, is there a way I can just like hop on something and like rant about it? But I didn't really want to do YouTube and I just have never really been that into social media. So I was like, there's got to be something. And then I was like, well, podcasting. Okay, we'll give it a shot. Like I went into it with zero expectations and then it took off and God has really blessed my simple little idea, because his plans for my business have always been so much bigger than my plans. Mm-hmm. And that's honestly one of the most humbling things about running a business, is that we feel like we can control so much, but we really can't.
Yeah.
And giving up that control is often what will lead to true growth. Mm-hmm. So just taking that leap of faith, whether it's taking the leap of faith to leave your current career and start a design business, taking a leap of faith to start a podcast, you just don't know what's going to come of it. But to this day, it remains one of the biggest sources of clients and revenue for my business. Yeah. It's been extraordinary.
Yeah. Wow. That's a great journey. I love that. And so along the way, what would you say is some of the best advice that you've been given as a business owner to help develop your business?
Yes. So a few things. First one would be, make your systems repeatable. Always go back to, is this a good fit for my ideal client? Mm. And then lastly, say things simply. Say things concisely. Don't get fancy and creative, because that's where you'll confuse people and lose them. And confused people don't purchase. That's why at the end of my own podcast, every episode, I say, keep your marketing message clear and concise, because that's something that even I have to remind myself of. I mean, case in point, I was on a call this morning with my business coach, and we were going over one of my new offerings that I'll probably be telling you guys about a little bit later on in this episode. But she was like, so this part doesn't make sense. Why are you using this word? And I was like, I don't know. I didn't like the other word. I was trying to be creative. And she was like, don't. And I was like, oh, I know this. I know this. Why did I do this? So we all have to be reminded of, just go back to things being simple, because we don't get bonus points in business for complicating stuff that really just doesn't need to be complicated. And marketing is one of those things that is vastly and needlessly overcomplicated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was thinking about this today, actually. Like, I sometimes will get bored of my own message. Like, I've heard it a million times, and I feel like other people have heard it a million times, and they need to hear something new. But that's not the case, because I'm trying to get, you know, exposure to new people who haven't heard it before. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if it's not broken, you know, you don't need to fix it. Like, right?
Right, right. You definitely want to keep your messaging consistent. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I experience the same thing, because I'm like, I believe email marketing is hands down the way to go and it's the way to grow your business. But sometimes I'm like, do I want to talk about this anymore? That's when I start looking at it from a different perspective, because it's like, is there a different way to do this? How are things changing? Is there not a different way to do this? Why are these same basic pillars pretty much non-changing throughout the decades? Mm-hmm. Why is it still so effective? And yeah, even from what you're doing, I would imagine that talking about the same topics over and over can get a little bit exhausting. But as we've seen, people have to hear the same message over and over before it really starts to stick. Mm-hmm. So it's worth it. And honestly, that's why a lot of people in business will start to give up on their marketing, because they get too busy, they get too tired, they get too bored. And if it was easy, everybody would do it.
Yeah.
Now, running a business is not easy.
Yeah. So what are some of the common mistakes that you'll see designers or home industry people coming to you that they're making currently in their marketing that is not working for them?
Yeah. So the very first thing is, a lot of people tend to treat marketing like it's the most important thing in business, but it's actually not. What's more important is knowing how to manage your money. For a lot of new designers, they're like, well, I don't really have money coming in, so whatever. You know, don't I need the marketing to get that money coming in? Yes and no. It's hard to market your business when you don't know how to manage money, because that means you're not going to have any money to invest in that marketing. Because the ideal is, like, you shouldn't have to market your business forever. Eventually, you should be able to outsource at least part of it. Mm. But it can be hard to do that in a long-term, consistent fashion if you don't know how to manage your revenue. So even if that revenue is $1,000 a month, designers need to focus more on perhaps working with a business coach, getting a bookkeeper immediately. Don't try to do it yourself unless that was your past career, because even if it was your past career, you're going to be focused on other things. Like, you have to outsource stuff. So I would say that the designers who come to us and have the most success are the ones who have addressed their money and mindset issues first and then the marketing.
Okay, that's really good. That's a good path to follow on your understanding when to get that marketing piece into your business for people who are just starting out. And then I'm sure you get a lot of people who have been in the industry for a while and it hasn't been working for them. So why don't you talk about a little bit of your services and the different things that you do offer to the home industry?
Yeah, so we offer things that kind of make it so that people don't have to run ads if they don't want to. Because a lot of people will confuse advertising with marketing. And advertising is just putting an ad out there to get someone's attention, but it doesn't actually do anything to convert that person into a client. Whereas marketing is the relationship that should ensue once someone sees the ad, or maybe they never see the ad and they're engaging because of organic marketing. Like they got an email from you, they read your blog post, they signed up for your lead magnet. So we focus more on the relationship side of it. And we work with people in the home industry who are in turn working with mid to high level luxury clients. That means that we're not helping them provide DIY marketing content. Like if you're looking for a blog post on how to style a coffee table, go somewhere else, because we are we're focused on how can we help our clients get in touch with their ideal client in a way that makes them memorable and makes their business more profitable. So the brass tacks of that would be, we do website design. We have different options for that, completely custom and semi-custom. And then we also do the ongoing email marketing. We do the ongoing blogging. And then a lot of people will ask us about social media, but we actually stopped offering social media management services because we could see anecdotally and statistically that interior designers don't really get clients from social media. And now there will be a few that say, oh yes, I do all the time. But when we drill down and ask them, did this client find you out of the blue because of what you were posting on social media? More often than not, the answer is no. They found me or met me somewhere else. And then they hopped on Instagram and started following me and then became a client. Well, that doesn't mean the client came from Instagram, but Instagram was a tool that you use to stay in touch with them, though it is dependent on how often do you post, what do you post, does the algorithm like what you're posting or not.
Right.
So that's why we tend to rely more on marketing tactics that have better proof in the pudding, like email marketing, because it's from your Flowdesk or MailChimp account to their inbox. You don't have to play the algorithm's games in order to get their attention. So those are the things that we focus on. We try to eliminate the fluff and the complicated parts of marketing and just focus on what's going to get you in front of your ideal client and help them understand your message. What's going to help your client feel seen, heard, and understood so that they want to hire you and so that they see the value of hiring you so that you don't end up with leads who are like, oh, your design fee is too high. You know, because like as a new designer, that is crushing to hear because you already don't believe in yourself. So then to have a client be like, yeah, you're too expensive. It's like, oh, that's just that's like pouring lemon juice on a paper cut. It's not helpful. So we focus on helping our clients increase their perceived value and helping them build the confidence that will then permeate through the rest of their marketing by helping them do things that have proven to work.
Really good. So you start off with like a strategy session to really help them identify their ideal client and what their marketing message should be and kind of go from there, build on that.
Yeah, definitely. So it involves a lot of ongoing strategy. I always speak with each client personally. So before they even sign up with us, they will have a call with me. We'll figure out which one of our plans work for them, or if they need a website, we'll figure out, do you need a custom site or do you need a semi-custom site? And then we will go through the appropriate structure of like the agreements or the contracts that are involved. And with our ongoing marketing plans, we have everyone sign up for at least an initial 6 months. 6 months is required because you're not going to see results in 2 months. You're not going to see results in likely 3 months because it's kind of like going to the gym. It has to be done consistently. And the ongoing marketing consultation, which is also directly with me, ensures that your marketing stays on track and that it gets done. And that said, we also hold our clients to a high standard too. We're like, you have to manage your time appropriately so that you can get us what we need in order for us to help you. You have to help us help you. That's just kind of how this symbiotic relationship works. And we have the 6-month minimum commitment because We fully expect our clients to make a promise to themselves and to their businesses. You know, you need this, you know, your business needs this, and we're going to help hold you to that. And nobody can guarantee results, but we can guarantee you progress. Mm-hmm. And that is what happens in the 6 months. So whether we're working with a designer who has never worked with a client before, and she just wants to get everything set up correctly from day one, I love those clients. Mm-hmm. They have their heads in the right places.
Yeah.
Or if we're working with a designer who's been in business for a couple decades, and she's like, I've never had to market before because I always got clients through word of mouth referral. But now that all dried up and I'm panicking. We take those clients too, and we get walk them through the process of here's what your sales funnel should look like. Now let's start putting it together piece by piece.
Okay, that's really good. So you have different offerings, different service levels, and mm-hmm. and we'll put a link to your website so people can go check that out. How many people are working for you now on your team?
Yeah, so I have, it varies on what projects we're doing, but I have about, I would say 4 to 5 people.
Okay.
Yeah. I've got three that are like my core girls. Like they're always working with me. We're always in Slack talking about all sorts of stuff in the business. And then I've got some other people who are kind of on the fringes. And then beyond that, I also have a CPA. I have a bookkeeper, a financial advisor. My husband also works for me, which I like to remind him that he is on my payroll.
That's awesome. I mean,
he is actually the CFO. So he pays himself. He likes that a lot.
That's pretty cool. So that was also a learning process for you, like learning how to manage a team and mm-hmm. having, you know, are representing you as a part of your business. So, yeah.
Yeah. And finding the right people, it was also a process because I had other people working for me that I had to let go because they were actually costing me clients.
Oh, no.
They weren't meeting deadlines. They weren't delivering quality. I've had to have some hard conversations, but it's part of it. And now my team is solid. Like I am so grateful for them. Anytime one of them goes on maternity leave, I'm like, please come back, please come back. Oh no. But no, they all come back. And one thing that I always wanted for my business was to be able to be a very present mother mm-hmm. and wife while also being an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think those things are mutually exclusive. Like we can be both. It's not easy, but we can do it. And that's what I've been able to create for myself in my own business. But then I was like, I want to do the same thing for the women who work for me.
Mm-hmm.
So the women who work for me, they are either in the process of starting a family or they already have really young kids. They set their own work hours. It's like one of my core ladies, she works from like 8 to midnight every mm-hmm. night because that's just what works for her and she loves it.
Yeah.
I've got another one who works like mid-afternoon and then to like late evening. And it's like, I don't care when you work as long as deadlines are met and you treat the clients well. And it's actually so fulfilling to be able to hire all these women. I mean, my husband is the only man that works for the business. he's fine with that. But to hire all these women who just, they want to be present with their kids. Like their kids, their families are more important to them than their careers. And I love that because I feel like that is how it should be. We need to have our priorities in order, and to be able to have them on my team is such a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that is also an idea that a lot of designers have when they go into the industry is that, and I know this was one that I had at least, was like, I want to have something where, you know, a business where I really love it, but also it gives me the flexibility of being a mom and being a mm-hmm. business owner. But there was a lot of work that I had to do to like reconcile the two and like, you know, along the way and having coaching, mindset coaching around all of that. Because I think that's part of the pitfall is that, you know, a lot of designers love design. They want to do it all the time. They would do it as a hobby, but it's not valued as much as it's starting to be. Like, I think a lot of their clients things like, oh, you're just a mom that's playing on the side with pillows, and, you know, stuff like that. So there's a weird aspect of the industry that needs a lot of mindset coaching, I think, for mm-hmm. moms who are business owners, but can also be successful and show an example to their daughters of how to do it. So, yeah.
Yes. And it's funny because, so I have a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old, and my 4-year-old, said, "Mom, I want to be a teacher, a rock star, and a mom." And I was like, "You can." She has seen in real time that you can be more than one thing at once.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, I don't do everything right as a mother, but I feel like that's something I'm like, all right, she's getting it. Like, yeah. She knows.
Right.
And she knows when she's at school, I'm working. She's like, "Did you work today, Mom?" "Yes, I did." Like, "Oh, okay." Like, she, yeah. It's just, but she has told me she does not like podcasts. So there's that.
Okay.
No, whatever. I don't think she'll take over my podcast anytime soon. But although one thing that she did say to me recently is, "Mom, what do you want to be when you're more grown up?"
And I was like,
"Yeah, that's a good question." And I was like, "Well, I think I want to be a writer and a dancer." And she was like, "Oh." And it kind of made me remember, kind of put in perspective, like, as wrapped up as I get in my business, mm-hmm. it's not actually the epitome of my life. Mm-hmm. Like, there is still more out there. And that helps to keep a lot of things in their proper line of priority, because like you said, we can be so gung-ho about our businesses. We just want to do it all the time and throw ourselves into it. We would do it for free. We love it so much. But there is so much more to life even beyond that. And that's really why I do what I do, because I'm trying to take one of the most frustrating parts of running a business, which is marketing, mm-hmm. and make it easier, yeah. make it simpler, so that people can go spend more time with their kids or their husbands or whomever, instead of sitting in front of their laptop on a late Friday night trying to crank out some social media content or whatever else they think they should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, the mindset when we first get started in business is so crucial. And for the moms who are like, I want to be a designer or whatever it is, and they're not being taken seriously, the number one piece of advice, unsolicited advice that I want to give them.
Oh, I want to hear it.
is you have to take yourself seriously before you can expect anybody else to. Mm. And the brand new designers I work with, most of them, I would say 8 out of 10, aren't taking themselves seriously yet. They're okay. trying to DIY everything, and it shows. And I can say that with love, because I was that person too. Yeah. I did my own logo. It looked terrible. I was too afraid to niche down at first, so I didn't. And I just didn't take myself seriously. I kept telling myself, well, someday when I've made it, quote unquote, whatever that meant, then I'm going to invest in making myself look more professional. And what I didn't realize at the time was the sooner I would make myself look professional, the sooner I would be successful.
Mm-hmm.
We do have some control over that. We can't control the economy. We can't control our leads or our clients, but we can control how we show up in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we can teach people how to treat us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, projecting the person that you want to be, that you plan to be, mm-hmm. and just realize it right now, like a self-fulfilling yeah. prophecy.
Yeah, that it out truly there. Is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really, really good advice. I love that so much. So think, yeah. Cause you see a lot of different people come to you. And I think that is true, that 8 out of 10 wouldn't take themselves seriously just out of the gate. There's a handful that are very confident and they go for it, but the rest of us need to really get our mindset adjusted and take ourselves seriously, that we are already successful business owners, you know? So yeah, that's
great. Yeah. And one other thing to keep in mind is being a business owner and being an interior designer are two different roles.
Mm-hmm.
Just like me, if I'm doing website design, it's separate from my role as a business owner or as a CEO. And if you start a business and you're just focusing on the creative side of it, so in this case, the interior design, and you're ignoring the business side of it, your business is going to grow so much slower. It's going to be painful. It's just not going to be what it could be.
Mm-hmm.
But if an aspiring designer is like, all right, I'm going to focus on the business aspect of this, what does that mean? Well, that means understanding how the financial side of the business works, how the tax planning side of it works, getting those professionals lined up to help, because yes, it costs money, but you know what costs more money? Like underpaying in taxes and then having to pay penalties later. Like,
yes.
Like real world stuff.
Yeah.
Getting systems and processes in place so that when you do get the clients, you know how to operate efficiently. And of course, that evolves over time as you get more mm-hmm. experience. But instead of focusing on, oh, I'm just a designer, like mm-hmm. that's hard enough as it is, you also have to be first and foremost the business owner.
Yeah.
And business acumen, and I think that you talked about this on my podcast too, we talked about how business acumen is actually more important than design talent, which can be, it can feel very counterintuitive, but that's what it takes.
Yeah, 100%. It's definitely worth the struggle of understanding business, even if that's not the intuitive part. Like the intuitive part for your career is your interior design abilities and usually not the business side, but it's so worth the investment of getting the business part down and seeking out coaching and mentoring to really help give you a leg up on that. You don't have to invent that wheel. It's already been there, but just seek the experts in marketing like you, Kate, to help you get ahead and get that all squared away so you can do your skill very well and help other people with your skills. So yeah. Where can people find you? I know you're on social media, even though it's not a huge part of your marketing strategy, but you're at Kate the Socialite, right? And then podcast as well. And your website?
Yeah. So you can go to katethesocialite.com. You can also go to socialitevault.com. Got two different websites. It'll make sense when you get there, I promise. And I also have a podcast, The Kate Show, where you can get anywhere you get podcasts.
Wonderful. Great. Anything else you want to share with up and coming designers that might be helpful as they're just starting out their career?
So aside from getting clear on what type of services you would like to offer, just start noticing as you do get clients, which aspects of them, their personalities and their projects you like and which ones you don't like. And make sure that you are only showcasing on your website things that you want more of. So if you want more kitchen remodels, don't show a portfolio full of bedroom transformations because it's in misalignment with what you're actually looking for. So again, going back to keep your marketing simple, keep your message clear, and understand that everything does take time. Yeah. Like there's no such thing as like that golden ticket marketing effort where all of a sudden you just got clients pouring in. Most of the time, it takes a combination of consistency and effort and readjusting as you go. And don't be discouraged by that. Don't be discouraged if you've been in business for 2 years and you don't have a ton of clients yet, because it is going somewhere. It's building the momentum. Then you'll be able to look back 5 years into it and be like, wow, look how far I've come. And it is, I promise you, it's the best feeling.
Yeah. Oh, great. Well, thank you so much, Kate, for coming on the show today. You have so much good advice that I think everybody will definitely appreciate. And so fun talking with you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
So I just love that conversation and so great to have Kate on the show. I do encourage you to go listen to her podcast, The Kate Show, if you are an interior designer who owns a business. You can definitely benefit from the program that she has for marketing and the advice that she gives on her podcast. I listen to it frequently, as I mentioned in episode 69. I think you will enjoy it too. I know that a lot of my colleagues also use her for the templates and all the coaching and things that she does with marketing. So she's very great at what she does and is a great tool and asset for the interior design industry. And we're so happy to have her on the show today. So if you love her, go check her out. Links are in the show notes. And we will have another great episode for you next week. Until then, stay creative. Thanks for listening. If you love this episode, please leave a rating and a review. This helps me reach other curious creatives like you. If you have a topic request or would like to contact me, simply head over to my website, rwarddesign.com, or email me at podcast@rwarddesign.com.